Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Deep and Keep It Real. This is a community where stories are shared and people are informed. I am your host, Tiffany Camilla. You can always count on me to get a little deep, and you know I'm always going to keep it real. Today's guest is Dr. G. Love with Five Direction Wellness. If you'd like to reach out and call us with your questions, please give us a call at 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. So please join Dr. G. Love and myself, Tiffany Camilla, in a very passionate and informative conversation. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And that's Get Deep, Keep It Real on Twitter.com or Facebook.com, Get Deep and Keep It Real. All one word, y'all. So sit back, relax, and let's get deep and keep it real.
Dr. G. Love, how are you?
Hello, Tiffany. I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm super excited to have a very passionate, educated sister on my show today who is going to give me some serious knowledge, me and all my listeners. So I'm super excited, ready to get this conversation on the road.
Okay, great. Me too. Well, I just opened up. I have my altar space open in my beautiful, beautiful healing space down here on the easternmost point of the Gulf of Mexico, where I am happy to be residing with my family. And I did my Dobele to Oshun. I opened my Pachacuti Mesa, which is my Mesa of World Transformation. I Dobele to my ally Ogun, my ally the Great Mother, and to the ally Osain, who is the plant spirit medicine keeper, the medicinal practitioner of the forest from our West African Orisha heritage. So the ancestors have been called in, and which is always appropriate for times of great medicine transmission like this, and I am ready to be guided.
Wonderful. Guide us, please. Guide us. I know you have so much information to share. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and Five Directions Wellness?
Okay, well, Five Directions Wellness really organically came about when I decided to go to school to become a natural medicine doctor. I went to the Chicago National College of Naturopathy and Clinic in 2000. And shortly thereafter, I started apprenticing with Don Oscar Miro Quesada, who is a beloved maestro teacher of mine, who teaches from his medicine, which is grounded in Peru. And I learned with both my right and left brain how to embody myself as a healer, because I've always known that I have a healing spirit. And when I was a child, I said I wanted to become a doctor. But when I got to college, I saw that I was mistaken and I didn't want to become a doctor, although I knew that I was a healer. But I met this amazing woman named Deborah Lubar, who was teaching at the theater department then, and she was doing this beautiful ritualistic spiritual work with her theater and with her productions and in her acting classes. And so I auditioned and got into her. The first play I got into in college was called Between the Fish and the Moon, a celebration of the winter solstice. And I played elements and animals and plants, and I thought, oh, this is my calling. So I ended up moving in the direction that spirit guided me. And over time, after a beautiful life in the theater, I went in and I learned, you know, what science traditions, anatomy and biochemistry and physiology and this sort of thing, and simultaneously learn the old ways from Oscar and from the Ascended Masters, teachers, and elders that work through him. and did my Reiki work and really began to go much deeper into my understanding of my roots out of West Africa, and specifically with Yoruba-influenced traditions that as they've traveled over the diaspora. And so all of this has been a journey into completeness and into embracing all of who I am as what they call a post-colonial American black woman.
Okay.
And finding those roots and digging down deep into those roots really firmed themselves in the city of New Orleans for me. After
right.
I completed my education, I moved straight to New Orleans, and I have enjoyed the most beautiful practice there for 10 years.
Wow.
I've had such
so that means
an
you were there
doing pleasure.
Katrina, right? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there for 2 years before Katrina, and during those 2 years, I had set my practice up in such an organic way, and I was following ceremony the whole time. I had community ritual in my yard, in my home, for the solstices and for the moons, and I really got myself in touch with ritual, because as my teacher Oscar says, ritual begets relationship. And so
right.
by coming into the community and relating on a ritual level in a place like New Orleans, which is so based on ritual, the carnival ritual,
mm-hmm.
and the Mardi Gras Indian rituals, and all the indigenous practicing, all the indigenous practitioners that are there, and all the African diaspora practitioners that are there. It was just such a place to engage with ritual and to create my community through ritual. And it took 2 years of deep engagement, and I found myself feeling really positive as I was flying to Peru to make my pilgrimage to do my work there in the end of June 2005. And so I was on pilgrimage in Peru when Katrina hit. And it was such a change in the story for me. I was feeling mm-hmm. relieved, like, oh, I've set this practice up. I've worked so hard, and now I'm about to go into this. I had a deep expectation, you know, and I was
right.
attached to the outcome. So my outcome was different because I realized I had been placed there and set myself up in such deep ritual communion with my community. Working on a sliding scale at all times, bartering, working in sacred reciprocity, how it showed itself to me, never
mm-hmm.
turning anyone away for lack of funds, and
right.
Really being open to sharing ritual with people so that they could open up to their innate magic.
Right.
And by doing all of that ritual, there was so much trust, I'm happy to say, built between me and the community that I was really able to be one of the first responders to provide
mm-hmm.
real grassroots, affordable sliding scale to free health care after the storm. You know, I was home free, you know, that's what I say for homeless, for really 4 years after
wow.
the storm. And I treated people in FEMA trailers, in bars, in cafes, on street corners. You know, some one woman came up to me and told me she remembered this ceremony we did in the park after the storm and how much it changed her. And then another woman came and told me we were in some kind of alley and you did this whole healing on me, and I was so appreciative. Stuff I don't even remember because it was such a whirlwind in my own trauma. I was
right.
traumatized my own self, so I was really just guided by spirit while I was still a member of the people, swirling and swirling and swirling in those winds of Katrina and floating in those waters of Lake Pontchartrain in the Gulf.
And let's talk about, you know, that trauma. I mean, how did that trauma affect the people? How did that trauma affect you? I mean, here we are, what, 8-9 years post-Katrina, and I'm not even from New Orleans, but I can still feel that trauma. I wasn't even in the country when Katrina hit. And now living here, I can still feel that trauma deep within the city.
Yeah. Something that Diana Panera, elder healer and service worker in the city, said is that it's not post-traumatic stress disorder that we have in New Orleans, but it's persistent traumatic stress disorder. You know, because people have taken, there are many people who these 8 years later still don't have their house right, still aren't back
right.
in their homes, are still building
yeah.
piece by piece in their spare time and with their little money. So the story has continued. The rebuild was so powerful, and it really did wear away on our spirits in various ways, depending on who the person was. And myself, right. I really retreated into spirit-guided work because it's where I was. You know, I was deep in my initiatory process as a shamanic practitioner, and I just flew right into that and did my work. But honestly, the emotional and mental parts of my body, if we're speaking holistically, where we have five directions, we're going to see the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, the mental body, and then the etheric body in the center as the five directions.
Okay.
And my ability to be present was best in the spirit body at that time because my mental and emotional body was triggered and I was diagnosed with PTSD my own self.
Wow.
And at some point I had developed such a case of dissociative amnesia that I was utterly out of sorts and I really could only do what I did, which was what I was doing. And everything else was really, really somewhere else in my consciousness. The displacement alone for myself and for so many people that I loved triggered my own deep pains that I had as a child around abandonment, around the kind of poverty that I grew up in where there was not a steadiness of home. There was danger in quite a few of the homes that I lived in, and I was assaulted and harmed physically, sexually, emotionally, and verbally as a young person in some of these homes. And a lot of times we would take rooms in a home, or we would rent some, we would live in someone's actual home as a boarder. And so there was always this feeling of not belonging. And all of that stuff, I had set up my management protection mechanisms to handle that stuff. And when Katrina came, it washed away all of my protection mechanisms, and I found myself just raw and vulnerable. And the natural thing that I did without any conscious awareness was to protect that by retreating and just leaving myself with my strength, which was my physical body, my spiritual body and my physical body. And then eventually my physical body became ill as well. And it was just really me operating with spirit. It's been quite a journey of awareness, because I will say I took notes the whole way. I took notes the whole way through this dark night of the soul, and that's what my PTSD has felt like, a real dark night of the soul, a real transformative dying and rebirth experience.
Yes, like a phoenix. Like a phoenix.
Yeah, so, and I'm not alone because I did it with all so many people. So many people are doing it with me.
Right. And I think that's important to point out to the listeners that, you know, whatever you may be going through, that you're not alone. There's usually someone else. They may not be on the same journey as you, on the same path, but the road may be just a little bit similar, that you can find a connection of understanding and compassion. So I really wanted to also get more into, you said you wrote about it. So how did that process help you with your healing?
Well, I'm writing my memoir of decolonization right now, which has been a great way to get my memory back because I'm writing myself back into existence. Things are coming out of my hands and onto the paper or screen that I haven't had access to. It unlocked an amazing amount of doors. And, you know, so much of what I see really is systemic trauma through the years. You know, I just see my how my root chakra and my sacral chakra, my solar plexus chakras, my three lower chakras were just so impacted by the legacy that I come into being with as this post-colonial Black woman. And that part of my work here is to decolonize my cellular system, to cleanse and transmute the frequency of oppression and trauma out of my DNA. And for me, taking this journey into trauma has actually allowed me to energetically sit with the truth of my inheritance and do the work of severing ties and healing through time and space using, you know, the Reiki long distance symbol, for instance, and other energetic technologies to heal my ancestral lineage on all sides.
So if some of my listeners are, you know, maybe experiencing some kind of trauma such as the one you've experienced yourself, what can they do to kind of, can they heal themselves? Do they need to reach out for some kind of assistance? What's out there?
Yes and yes. You can definitely heal yourself, but because the when the solar plexus gets so disrupted and the ego gets really triggered by the outside world, which is why we have like trigger warnings on our Facebook pages. So we understand that some people are in a place of being triggered by trauma and things that they've experienced in the past. You're not able to see clearly what is where you stand. So it's very important to have a reflection. Unfortunately, the society has been set up to silence this sort of work. I like to say the witch hunts were very successful.
Right.
And by that I really mean that the system itself is designed to suppress the divine feminine. And the kind of energy that's required for this healing journey is the deep, dark water energy of the divine feminine. The mothering womb energy of the Mother Earth is what is required. And there are tears and manias and fits and rages and miseries and depressions and anxieties that come with that energy as we heal from all of this trauma, as the very first critical mass, free generation of multicultural people in the United States who aren't like deeply regulated by laws and overt violence around interacting with each other and growing ourselves. And so we're hitting a lot of snags by being the first generation. We really are. And I think if we don't reach out and ask for support where we can get it, if we feel that we are too ashamed to admit that we're can't remember a thing, for instance,
that's just gonna
spiral out and be not helpful, because it's gonna trigger shame issues. And, you know, send you backwards instead of forwards, which I've done many times, by the way.
Hey, but at least you can admit it. That's always the first step. At least you can admit it.
Yeah.
That always helps, you know.
Yeah, I'm really encouraging people to come out the closet and get this here legacy taken care of, because it is here and it's no sense pretending it's not.
Exactly. You know, I find it interesting, you know, movies like The Butler, 12 Years a Slave have come out, and there's just really no conversation about things that have gone on, and we're silent about it, you know. We'll have a little discussion here and there, but then after 5 minutes, we're not supposed to talk about it anymore. We have this culture of rape culture that's still being, you know, thrown in our faces, whether it's, you know, I was in the military, so we had to be silent, as you were saying, about things that were happening to us for so long. And, you know, you do see it now more in everyday society, mainstream media, but it's only there for about 5 seconds, and then once again, we're supposed to be silent. So when are we all going to, you know, white, black, Indian, Mexican, whoever, as women, and men, because we can't leave them out the discussion, men are being traumatized as well. But it's really time that we all sit down and talk about these traumas that are happening to us as children, as teens, and as adults.
Yeah. But that's where that silence comes in, because a lot of that silence has been around protecting, because most of the traumas we experienced in our youth were at the hands of either a family member or a close family member or a teacher or someone intimate, and also someone older than us with power. And so that silence is actually built in to how we do everything, even how we don't feel empowered to tell our boss, no, I don't want to do that, that's not my job description, or you know, set reasonable boundaries that respect where we are in our healing process, because it's woven in from the early age, that silence, that protecting, that responsibility to make other people feel more comfortable despite how you feel.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking on that and trauma, even the issue of mental health, and once again, that's something that we're kind of told to be silent about. We don't want to hear you talking about your depression. We don't want to hear you talking about your bipolarness. But yet we mm-hmm. have these people, you know, shooting up people, and we don't know why. We have, you know, people dying from a drug overdose, and we don't know why, because we're not free to be verbal about the pain that we're in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that pain is a natural part of our nature. They're evolutionary drivers. Pain is drawing our attention to something that we're supposed to address. If you put your hand on the stove and it hurts, you don't leave your hand on the stove.
Right.
You know, but instead we have, that's why I said the witch hunts were very successful. Witch hunts meaning just a complete suppression of anything, the emotional world, the divine feminine, the emotional realm. And the physical realm to an extent, you know, and it's just, oh, it hurts, but it's not that bad. Oh, it hurts, but look at this person over here. They're hurting more than I am. Like some kind of way we can talk ourselves out of addressing what's causing us pain. Or, oh, it hurts, but I should be ashamed of feeling this pain. Why am I not tough enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that conversation last night, I think. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted this show, this conversation with you, to be a platform, to be, you know, a stepping stone for others to have a conversation amongst themselves about trauma and pain and healing and having a voice, giving themselves a voice and not being muted. And so I hope that we've kind of started that today. But
death, as they ACT UP community says. Silence equals death. That is a very revolutionary and evolutionary process that we need to embrace. Speaking aloud, opening our throat chakras and speaking aloud our truth.
And you know, that's part of my trauma. I didn't talk about it, and then I had thyroid cancer, part of the throat, lost my ability to physically speak for a couple of months. So that's part of the reason of this show, because no longer will I be muted. I won't be put on mute again. So whether I have one listener, five listeners, zero listeners, I will be heard from today into the future because these are archived. So somebody will hear my voice, whether it's today or tomorrow.
Ashe.
So we have about 7 minutes left, and I'd like to just say you're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach out to us at 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. Or if you'd like to leave us some comments, you can find us on Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook. And also you can tweet us, Get Deep, Keep It Real on Twitter. And I'm sorry, I said Facebook, I meant Twitter. So I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. If you have any comments, please leave them there. And now let's get back to our conversation. We have about 5.5 minutes left. So, Dr. G. Love, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Five Direction Wellness or any other projects that you're working on that you would like everyone to be aware of?
Okay, I got a lot of irons in the fire right now because I'm caretaking one of the most fabulous elders of my life. She is working with a serious physically debilitating disease, a form of Parkinson's, and we, the family, have come together, and we are just having the most beautiful experience being her arms for her, being her legs for her, being her voice for her. We know her so well. She knows us so well. She can actually give us a little side eye, and we know what she means, you know, and it's really fun to have sort of this family reunion, and it's the sort of thing where you would think it would be so sad, but really the love is gigantic here. But that gives me a lot of time because I'm here caretaking, so I can work on all these projects I've been meaning to work on. So I'm writing my memoir, which I am definitely looking for an editor and a publisher, and it is a beautiful and amazing tale. So I put that out there. I'm also got my website, which is www.fivedirectionswellness.com, and that's all spelled out, F-I-V-E, directionswellness.com. And I got a Tumblr site. I got things going on. I'm findable. I'm Googleable. I'm on Facebook. So that's happening. And I'm healing people through the internet, you know, assisting people in their own healing through the internet. I've been doing some beautiful ceremony with some very powerful sisters through, you know, like FaceTime and Google Talk, and really doing some intense transformative work. I also am doing webinars where I'm meeting with groups of 5 to 7 women, that's women that identify as women. So that includes trans women or any two-legged being that can communicate in English. Unfortunately, I'm not that fluent in too many other languages that identifies as a woman and can identify with womb-spirited divine feminine work. And we're coming together for 3 weeks and having 2 sessions a week and building these amazing containers called Asylum. And it's just a complete safe space, not like a safe space like we normally would think of, but an energetically safe environment to operate from the womb center. And then we just bring our lives to the table for 3 weeks, and we assist each other in reflecting, reflecting using our Aboriginal spirit, reflecting calling in our ancestors, using drawing upon our roots and trusting that spirit and energy will not only bring interesting conversation and reflection to the table when we're all together, but then going away for 2 days and coming back and being able to say, you're not going to believe what just happened to me in the workplace. And it's reflected right back from what we were all manifesting together. So we're having these really deeply rooted experiential asylum workshops together. And that, I encourage anyone who vibrates with that to check that out on my website. That's under Asylum Websites at the 5directionswellness.com, because wow is all I had to say after I did my first one, and then I did my second one, and I went double wow. I'm really pleased with spirit and how I was guided to just facilitate holding space for the unfolding brilliance of women. Here in this culture, and it's segregated because I completely operate with an understanding that we have an invisible wall of apartheid here in the United States. Whites only and coloreds only, if we're going to go back through our roots and we're going to be safe, I have to use my Buddhist tenet and accept the truth. It's not my ideal. I have to accept the truth that in order to have the safety to go into our roots and draw upon our roots without having to check our privileges as much in a multicultural environment, that we can really go deep without as much opportunity for trigger, for shame or self-consciousness. And it's really been going. It's very powerful and it's very guided, very ancestor guided.
So let me just get some clarification. So when you say segregated, are you meaning just women and no men? Or are you meaning just women or just people of color?
I have asylum for white/white passing women, and then I have asylum for women of color. And so I don't at this time have an asylum for men. I'm doing asylum for women. So there is an overall distinction in that it's a women's group. And then I hold 2 different asylums. I'll have one that's just women of European descent or who are white or white passing. And there's been some beautiful work with just being able to accept the experiential reality of being white passing in the asylum groups that we've had. You know, being Chicana and being seen and treated as a white woman and therefore experiencing that privilege and also experiencing the distance from her own family.
Right.
And cultural heritage. And so being able to have conversations like that has really brought major juice to the medicine in the asylum containers.
That's awesome. So it sounds like a very wonderful format, and I think I'm probably going to have you on the show again after that's done so that we can discuss it some more and educate people out there as to what's going on within our community, within our nation, to get some understanding, you know, as to what we're all feeling and dealing here.
Yeah, it would really be my pleasure. It would really be my pleasure because it's a huge project to know how to treat ourselves with that level of respect and deeply rooted understanding.
Well, we have about 5 seconds left. So are there any parting things that you would like to say?
Love. That's what I got. I got love for you.
I love it. I got love for you too, baby. And thank you for
keeping
it deep.
And I got a lot of hope, by the way. I'm a very hopeful person because let me tell you,
that's
it's on
right.
and popping.
That's what we need. We have to have hope. We can't survive without it. We cannot.
It's on and popping. We got momentum.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. 2014, watch out. Here we come.
Here we come.
Tiffany Camilla and Dr. G Love. Well, you've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you have enjoyed our very passionate conversation. If you happen to listen to us in the archive, if you have any comments, please hit us up. You have her information. It'll be on my Facebook page. And hit me up on Twitter. I do believe Dr. G Love is on Twitter as well. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. Have a great evening. Thank you, Dr. G.
You're welcome. You've been listening to
Get Deep and Keep It Real. Love you. Talk to you next week.